Well, a couple weeks ago, we started a series that'll lead us up to Easter. And the series is focused on the last words that Jesus spoke before he died on the cross. And the first words of Jesus was a prayer of forgiveness. And today we'll look at the second saying of Jesus on the cross, and it is a promise that he makes. Beautiful promise. You know, Christ was suffering physically, but he also was suffering mockery from the multitude around him. You know, a sign had been placed over his head which read, "This is the King of the Jews." You know, the mob that was there that day, they yelled at him and they cursed at him. They spit at him. And they told him to come down from that cross if you really were the King of the Jews. They laughed and they mocked him. And so our text today highlights these words that Jesus said, the last words that he said before he died. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 23, starting in verse 32. Verna has it on the screen for us this morning. But if you want to follow along, I always think that's good. And it says that two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. If you'll skip down to verse 39, it says, one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuking him said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we are indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise." Heavenly Father, guide my words this morning. Lord, let my words be your words. Lord, help me today. Help us open up our hearts this morning that we may hear from you. I praise you. Thank you in Jesus' name. You know, three men died that day. They were crucified side by side, and two of them were criminals, and one of them was innocent. With a criminal on his left and a criminal on his right, Jesus hangs there in the middle. And you see that representation many all over where you see three crosses. And when the lights are just right, you can see three crosses there. The one in the middle and the two shadows on each side. You know, where were these criminals from? We do not know. They had to be from the area. We don't know their names. We don't know the crimes they committed. But we don't know, except for this reason, what we do know is that they were crucified along with Christ. We do know that. One on his left and one on his right. And it seems to appear that these two men were exactly alike, but they were both criminals. They were both guilty of crimes, but they were both sentenced to die for their crimes, and they would die on the same day. But in reality, no two men could be more different. One hurled insults at Jesus, and the other asked to be remembered. And one man wanted freedom from his pain, and the other one wanted freedom from his sins. So I want to look this morning at the man who wanted forgiveness. By his own admission, he was guilty, a man to be justly punished, and he deserved to die, and he knows it. And by sundown, he will be dead. In his case, you know, had been tried, his judgment announced, and his sentence is being carried out that day. And he says these words, "We indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing." Luke 23:41 there. You know, when you look at this, you see what's going on here. He confesses his guilt. He agrees with his punishment. He knew that he was a sinner, and he knew that he deserved to die for his crimes that he had committed. He knew that he had no hope within himself. He confessed his guilt for the world to hear. Everyone around him heard this, and he confessed his guilt before the Lord. You know, this is really profound, but it's a truth that is revealed in the words of this man. Just like him, we all must come to a place where we realize that we are sinful and undone before God. We got to admit that we are guilty and in need of salvation. We got to confess our sins before the holy and just God. Many are aware of their needs, but few are willing to confess their sins. But confession, listen, confession is essential for our salvation. It's not just simply knowing. Simply knowing our need is not enough to be forgiven. It's like knowing that we need to lose weight, but never committing to lose weight. There's a difference. We must pour out our hearts to the Lord in honest confession. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In 1 John 1 and 9. He confessed his sins, this man, but before he prayed to the Savior, he acknowledged the purity of the Savior in verse 41. This man, he says, has done nothing wrong. You know, the fact is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as it says in Romans 3:23, except one, and that was Jesus. Somehow, this criminal knew this. We really don't know if he had any prior contact with Jesus, if he knew him or heard of him, but somehow he realized that Jesus was no ordinary man. He was well aware that Jesus was innocent of his charges that were brought against him, and he saw the Lord as one who was sinless and holy and undefiled. You know, this is an essential element in our salvation. All must come to realize that Christ is holy and undefiled. God demanded that sin be atoned by the shedding of innocent blood and perfect blood. The spotless lamb. The innocent lamb. Christ was the only one who qualified. He was pure and he was holy. He was innocent. And that criminal realized that and knew it. He says, this man has done nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong, and he knew it. He knows that all his legal options have been exhausted, and now at the last moment of his life, he makes this final appeal to the Supreme Court of the universe. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. Isn't that amazing? This is an amazing example of faith. Jesus is hanging next to him. I can imagine the sight of it all. All the agony and every breath is a breath of torture. Around him, the mob screams for his death, yet that moment, instead of hurling insults back or crying back, he cries out to Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. somehow this criminal saw Jesus at his worst and believed in his best. Jesus was beaten and bleeding and naked, and yet the criminal believed that Jesus would someday come into his kingdom. No man ever looked less like a king than Jesus did that day. Yet the criminal saw him as a king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He saw Jesus in his weakest, but yet still believed in Jesus in his greatness. He is a crucified sinner trusting in a crucified Savior. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Again, we don't know how much this man knew about Jesus before this day, but as far as we know, he never saw Jesus. It's just not written anywhere. He didn't know much about Jesus, that he could heal the blind, that he could do his miracles, and yet here he is in his beaten and mocked state, his forsaken state. Crowds of people who cheered him on week before now sit there and spit at him and cuss him and mock him. And here this man says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This man had faith in the power of Christ. Jesus, he says, remember me. Faith in the mercy of Christ. Those words speak that when he said, Jesus, remember me. Faith in the kingdom of Christ. Because when he said, when you come into your kingdom, he acknowledged God's kingdom. We must seek the Lord for forgiveness and must do it in faith. We must believe in Him and we must trust in Him. And if we have faith in Jesus, we will be saved, just like this criminal was. We must trust Him. How do we know this thief was saved? We know he was saved by the answer Jesus gave. In Luke 23:43, Jesus said, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Jesus answered his request by giving him a promise in three parts. Present salvation. Man, you know, I think of this and I see so many people who are so scared of death. They're terrified of death. But yet Jesus says, truly I say to you, you shall be with me in paradise. Present salvation. I think we ought to circle that word today that's in that scripture. Jesus didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say next week. He didn't say, you know, sometime when you wake up later on. He said today. Today. This very day, the day of your crucifixion, you will be with me in paradise. There's a lot of future things that God gives us, promises that He gives us, like in Revelation 21:1, it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And it goes, he says also, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer be any death, there will no longer be any more mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. That's his kingdom. And he says, this man, you will be with me. Those things haven't happened to us yet, or we wouldn't be sitting here today, right? There's some time in the future for all of us. And could they happen today? Yes, they could happen today. And that's something to think about if you're not received the fullness of Christ into your life. But we don't know for sure when that will be. The criminal knew, though, for sure that where he was going to be that day because of what Jesus said. And I would ask you this morning, do you know today where you'll be if today is the day you breathe your last breath? This man knew that today he's going to be in paradise. Amen. Because Jesus told him so. He also gained personal salvation. He says, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. The Lord made a personal promise to one who had a need, and he did. Jesus didn't condemn or judge him for the crimes he had committed. He just saved him. And that's how he saves each and every one of us. One person at a time. Not for the crimes. He don't condemn us for the crimes. He said, I didn't come here to condemn. I came here to save. One at a time. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that, well, my grandfather was a preacher, or my father was a pastor, or my family used to go to church, or they went to church. And I've heard that over and over and over again. But I want you to know that somehow, I don't know why somehow people think that gets them closer to Jesus, or that makes them saved by association or by their ancestry. This is not the case. You're not saved on the merits of anybody else but yourself. You are saved by having a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. He goes on to say, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. You know, the criminal on the cross believed in Christ, so Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. We find this also pleasing salvation. Truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. The phrase with me there, with me, is very personal. You know, Christ is with you, is with me. If you're a believer in Him, He is with you today. That's a personal thing. And it's very pleasing also. Jesus didn't say, you will be over there and I'll be over here, but we'll be in the same location. He said, we'll be together. It's you and me together, side by side. You will be with me in paradise. Wherever Jesus was going, the criminal would be right there by his side. The first and foremost thing that all of us must... we need to be on Jesus' side. Amen. I want Jesus to be on my side. Amen. Today you'll be with me in paradise. I remember a song. It just hit me when I was preparing this. And I don't know. I grew up in the 80s and 90s, you know. So that song, Almost Paradise, you know, knocking on heaven's door, you know, Almost Paradise. Oh, you know it. The words of that song. I mean, you know, we think, this world thinks this is paradise, but it's almost paradise. This is the creation that God created, and it's a beautiful world that we live in, but it is not paradise. It's almost paradise. The relationships that we have with our spouses and with our family and friends is almost sometimes paradise, but it's not. It's almost. There's only one place that's paradise, and that's with Jesus in heaven. It's in His kingdom. That's why we pray, Your kingdom come, Thy will be done. It is His kingdom. That's where paradise is. I know the writer of that song. Where's my phone? I want you to read because, or listen to this. Because I thought it interesting. I had to look it up, so I thought it interesting. The writer says, it's almost paradise. We're knocking on heaven's door. It's almost paradise. How could we ask for more? And then he goes on to say, in your arms, salvation, not so far away. If when you read the words of that song, it makes me think that he'd been to church a few times. He realized it is almost, but it's not paradise. You know, in the morning he was in prison, and at noon he was hanging on the cross, but by sundown he was in paradise. He was in paradise not by himself. He was in paradise with Jesus. Out of a life of sin and shame, he passed immediately into his eternal blessing. What can we learn from this story today? I know what I learned by studying about this. I think we can learn it's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late to turn to Christ. It's never too late to turn to Him. And as long as there's life, as long as there's breath in you, it's never too late.
Amen.
As long as your heart is still beating. Jesus said, come to me, all who are troubled and weighted down with care, and I will give you rest. Can someone be saved at the last second? Absolutely. I believe it. I've witnessed it. The answer is definitely yes. Criminal on the cross was, and it's never too late to turn to Christ. I want us all to know this. Many of you do this morning, but why would I preach this message to believers? It's so that we can share it with unbelievers.
Amen.
This is the message that we have. Paul said, don't forget this message, is what he told the church. This is the message I preached from the beginning. Christ died, and He was risen from the dead on the third day for the salvation of sins. This is what the message is. Sometimes we look at people and we think that they're just too far gone, that they'll never come to Jesus, and then we get discouraged and we stop praying for them. But I'm telling you this morning, don't stop. Never stop praying for your family. Never stop praying for your neighbor. Don't stop. Because it's never too late. Don't ever give up on people that you love. They may be like the criminal. Sometimes we think it's just a waste of time, but it's not. It's never too bad. Even the very worst people can be saved. Let me tell you. I know that some people feel that they're too far gone sometimes and they're in this sin and they feel so enslaved by their habits and their despair of even being set free. And many people would do anything to be forgiven, but they think forgiveness is impossible. You wouldn't believe people that I've talked to that feel this way. It doesn't matter where you've been sleeping. It doesn't matter what you've been drinking. It doesn't matter who you've been hanging around with. It doesn't matter what sins you committed. It doesn't even matter if you've broken the Ten Commandments, all of them or just one of them. That doesn't matter. You can still be forgiven. If this man here that hung beside Christ can be saved, then all can be saved. If there's hope for him, there's hope for you and I. And if he can make it to paradise, then we can too. Amen?
Amen?
For the Son of Man has not come to seek and to save that which is lost. That is why. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. So if you're lost, Jesus has come to save you. And it doesn't matter how bad things have been. It doesn't matter how bad things maybe are right now in your life. Jesus can save you. It's not too hard either. God has made salvation simple for everyone. It's simple. If we look at this story, salvation was not based on the criminal's relationship with the church. It wasn't. He was never baptized. He never took the Lord's Supper. He never attended Sunday school class. He didn't do anything. But he made it to paradise. Salvation was not based on the acts of good works. It was he didn't do anything to help the Savior. He didn't do anything to help Jesus. He could not give his money to the poor. He didn't have any of that. He didn't do any of that to gain salvation. Salvation is simple. It's not about what we do. It's not about the works that we do. Of course, if you're saved, you'll do things because you love Christ. It's simple as this. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in his righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. It's simple as that. Confess, believe, and you'll be saved. That's the message that was preached from the beginning. And that's the message we should share with every unbeliever we meet. It's important that we remind each other, especially during this season, following coming up to Easter. In this story of the criminal on the cross, how he was offered, and you and I are offered this same thing today. This world that we live in, each and every, all that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That means all people this is offered to. We are offered salvation, present salvation. We are offered personal salvation. And we're offered pleasing salvation. But I want you to remember this when we leave here today. We're going to take communion here in just a few minutes. such an important time that we remember. Remember this, that it's never too late. Remember this, that you're never too bad. And remember, most importantly, that it's not that hard. Just ask, and you will receive. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful, wonderful story that we can learn from and realize that you didn't come to condemn, you came to save. Lord, I pray that if there is anyone here this morning that has never accepted you in their life, that they would just make that commitment today and just say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. And I believe in you. And the Word says that He'll forgive you if you do that. Lord, help us to be good servants. Help us to spread your message, this gospel that was preached to us, that's been told to us, that's been handed down from generation to generation. Lord, let us be a church that shares this gospel, this message, your message of love and forgiveness and salvation to all who ask. Amen.